Welcome to the deep dive. If you are leading a team, or, you know, an entire organization right now, you are right in the middle of the fastest acceleration of non-human intelligence the world has ever seen. And we are getting right into that challenge today.
We are.
Our sources tackle this head on, and they define this core strategic tension as the leadership paradox in an AI-driven world.
It's a really powerful idea.
It is. The concept is that as machines gain this almost exponential power handling, data prediction, even creative tasks, the human leader is forced back to their deepest human core.
So all the value suddenly shifts.
Exactly. The value now lives in things like empathy, trust, and real connection.
And look, this isn't just some, you know, philosophical debate. This tension is the current battlefield for executive survival.
It feels like it.
Our mission today is to give you a shortcut to understanding this paradox. We want to identify that human edge that really determines who survives and, frankly, who thrives in this massive technological shift.
Because if you're not adjusting your leadership identity right now,
you're already falling behind.
So let's start with a bit of historical context. For decades, if you wanted to be seen as a top-tier leader, the mission was pretty simple.
Efficiency.
You focused on optimization, right?
Yeah.
How to produce more, faster, and cheaper. That was the game.
And that entire focus has just been made, I mean, almost jarringly obsolete.
Obsolete how?
You just can't win the efficiency game anymore. Not against the machines. Algorithms and AI, they already outperform human judgment at that scale.
In what kinds of areas?
Well, think about optimizing supply chains, or forecasting demand with millions of data points, or even generating budgets. And AI can do that faster than a CFO can even think about three basic scenarios.
So they've mastered the how much and the how fast.
They really have.
But wait a minute. Doesn't that risk turning leadership into something fuzzy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if AI is doing all the hard optimization, is the leader's job just to be nicer?
That's the exact hurdle we have to get over. It's not about being nicer. It's about recognizing that what makes an organization strategically valuable has fundamentally changed. The core value isn't defined by what leaders know analytically, because the machine just knows more. It's defined by how they connect and inspire.
So you're not competing with the machine on analysis?
No, you're working alongside it to provide meaning.
Which means the AI's analytical insight is only half of the equation.
Precisely. The leader's job becomes translating that insight into human action, into motivation.
So the focus shifts.
It moves right up the stack to emotional intelligence, to curiosity, to mastering the complex social dynamics that, you know, build truly resilient teams.
And that's the big irony here.
It's the profound irony of the AI era. The smarter our tools get, the more our unique humanity becomes our most critical strategic strength.
That pivot to humanity, it immediately brings it to the issue of trust. Or the lack of it.
Right. We're in this very strange moment.
We are. We trust machines with these huge consequential tasks. I mean, parking our cars, helping diagnose cancer.
Navigating airplanes.
And yet our trust in other people, in our own systems, feels incredibly fragile. That's the trust challenge.
And this puts a brand new, very complex burden on leaders.
What's the new burden?
They don't just have to earn trust within their human teams anymore. Now they also have to build a functional, non-fear-based trust between those humans and the AI systems they're rolling out.
That's a whole new layer of trust management.
It is, and it's completely new territory for most.
And the sources are very clear about the risk here. If employees see AI as just a way to cut costs and eliminate jobs,
psychological safety just evaporates. Instantly.
And when people get scared, they stop innovating. They hoard information. They definitely don't offer the feedback you need to adapt.
And just like that, the foundation of your team's performance is gone.
So we need concrete ways to stop that from happening.
Yes. And the leader has to step into this crucial role, the role of an interpreter.
An interpreter, not just an implementer.
Exactly. You can't just flip a switch on a new AI model. You have to communicate its purpose. You have to involve your people in its integration. And you have to frame it as an empowering partner rather than a silent threat.
But couldn't that just come across as spin? I mean, how do you make that trust genuine when the technology itself can be a black box to most people?
It stops being spin the moment you genuinely involve people in the process.
And show them the benefits for them.
Exactly. The sources talk about this principle of peer-novation, which is really about how peer groups drive adaptation.
Okay. And in this context?
It means that when your team members feel safe, respected, and actually heard about their fears around AI, they adapt much, much faster.
Because trust fuels learning.
And in the AI era, learning is everything. It's the single biggest competitive edge. You have to be willing to be wrong and iterate, and that only happens in a high trust environment.
Which leads us right into this necessary mindset shift. Too many organizations are still looking at AI as pure automation.
And that's that old industrial age thinking. They see it as a tool to cut costs, to replace people.
They're missing the bigger picture.
They are missing the forest for the trees. The real strategic opportunity here is massive, but only if you view AI as augmentation.
As a capability multiplier.
Precisely. Think of it this way. If you just automate, you might replace, say, a $100,000 analyst with an AI. You save that salary.
$100,000, right.
But if you augment that analyst, if you give that human expert AI tools to do the heavy lifting, they might generate $500,000 in new value because they can focus purely on insight and interpretation.
That's a powerful difference. Cost reduction versus capability creation.
It's a completely different mindset.
So AI can analyze all this customer-centric data. It can spot market trends.
At a superhuman scale, yes.
But the wisdom still comes from people. Interpreting that data within the company's values, weighing ethical trade-offs, giving meaning to the patterns.
Absolutely. The machine tells you what is happening or what might happen. The person determines the why and the how of the strategy.
Which is why the sources talk about leadership literacy.
Yes. Leaders don't need to be data scientists. They don't have to write code, but they absolutely must be data curious.
Capable of asking the right questions.
The right, penetrating questions of the AI system, and then translating those machine insights into actionable human strategy.
And we see that this human connection piece is irreplaceable, even in really intellectual settings. The sources mentioned using generative AI to create simulated CEO forums.
Right, a fascinating idea.
But even with that sophisticated tool, it's explicitly positioned as an addition, an enhancement. It's not a replacement for a real human peer group where you can be vulnerable and get unmediated feedback.
And that just reinforces the central role of emotional intelligence. It's not a soft skill anymore. It's a non-negotiable strategic capability.
It's the core competency.
It is. The sources point to texts like The Emotionally Intelligent Team as being vital for tomorrow's leaders. It's all about the social dynamics and peer learning. That's the differentiator.
Let's talk about a major side effect of this hyper-connected world, the loneliness factor.
This is a big one.
Technology has connected us globally, but it's also driven this deep professional isolation. And it's felt most acutely by senior leaders, by CEOs.
They often feel like they have nowhere to turn for truly unbiased, vulnerable advice.
And that isolation, it has real practical downsides for the business.
Absolutely. Remote work, digital tools. They're great for logistics, for routine tasks, but they also, maybe inadvertently, reduce the empathy and, critically, the serendipity you need for real innovation.
You mean those spontaneous hallway conversations?
Exactly. The nonverbal cues you pick up in a room, that's the friction that sparks new ideas, and we're engineering it out of our workdays.
That's a great point. Innovation happens when ideas collide randomly, not just in a scheduled 30-minute Zoom call.
So leaders have to rebuild that serendipity, but they have to do it deliberately.
How?
By prioritizing community. They need to create protected spaces, whether it's a formal CEO forum or just intentionally designed physical spaces where people can test half-baked ideas without fear of judgment.
So building environments where it's safe to be vulnerable.
Safe to fail out loud, even. That's where the real learning happens.
Which brings us back to the ultimate competitive edge. If our world is more and more mediated by screens and algorithms, what becomes the most valuable asset?
According to our sources, it's the genuine, unscripted human conversation.
Not the data.
The data is a tool. AI is amazing at analyzing performance, tracking metrics, spotting patterns, but only human peers can help a leader make sense of it.
The emotional weight, the political context.
All of it. The long-term human implications, that sense-making ability is completely dependent on real human connection.
So if we pull all this together, the actual definition of a great leader is changing. It's pivoting.
It is. We're moving away from that old model of top-down control.
And toward what?
Toward orchestration. It's about skillfully aligning these diverse forms of intelligence, human, artificial, collective, all towards one shared purpose.
And that requires a very different set of traits.
Very different. Traits that, frankly, often weren't rewarded in the past. We're talking about deep humility, radical adaptability, intense curiosity, and emotional attunement.
So leadership is less about having all the answers.
And more about asking better questions. of both the people and the machines around you.
But let me push back on that. How does this leading with heart idea survive the hard reality of shareholder pressure and quarterly earnings?
Because the market is slowly starting to realize that short-term optimization can actually undermine long-term resilience.
That's a tough sell in some boardrooms.
It can be. But the final synthesis here is that leaders have to actively resist becoming mere technocrats who just chase efficiency. Technology extends our reach, but it cannot and must not replace our touch, our purpose, or our trust.
The focus has to stay on the human element as the primary source of power.
Precisely. We lead people, not algorithms. People, not machines, will always be the ultimate source of resilience, of creativity, of strategic meaning.
The human connection is where the power is.
That's it. It's what one source describes as leading with our hearts, because that's the one thing AI can't replicate.
Fantastic. This deep dive has made it so clear. AI doesn't diminish the leader. It actually elevates the human requirements of the role.
It really does.
So the key takeaways for you today are clear. AI elevates human connection, interpretation is the key to adopting tech, and augmentation always, always trumps automation.
And that leaves you with a really provocative final question to think about. If AI is successfully managing all the efficiency, the analysis, and the operational optimization, how much time should a modern leader actually dedicate not to strategic planning, but to simply cultivating the unique human capacity for belonging, empathy, and care within their organization?
That question of resource allocation.
Shifting time from the spreadsheet to the conversation, it might be the single most important strategic challenge of the entire AI era.